The recording has started.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Murphy, one of your hosts for the National Black Unity News Podcast. Tonight we have with us, as usual, my partner, Mr. Satawi Jahi, who's been around the block just as long as I have, and a young man by the name of Andre Hector,
who's been around
just about half the time we've been around, you know, but... And then we had the illustrious Miss Fran Allen, who's been there and done that. I'm going to just leave it like that.
But, thank you, David.
Yeah, but you know, it's good to be back on the airways with you. You know, last Monday, we missed the podcast because a lot of simultaneously things happened last week. And so in any case, yesterday is yesterday, but today we're back. And we're going to share some information with you. We're just going to have pretty much like an open mic tonight. We're going to share some vital information with you. And as always, before we get started, we'd like to share some pop information from our brother, Satawi Jahi. So, Mr. Jahi, you have it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. As we do every time we open up this podcast, we read from Daily Motivations for African American Success by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. The reading for tonight, June 20th, Lean on Me. Quote, it's when we forget that we accomplish tasks that are most likely to be remembered. Bessie Coleman, first African-American female aviator. She flew a plane across the Atlantic. And I remember when I took children to Great Blacks and Wax, They have a statue of her in an airplane, and the children was like, she flew that plane? Yeah. So, you know, hey, and the thing is with that whole thing is that she had to go to France to get an aviation license because she couldn't get a pilot license in America. But let me get into the reading for the day. Ask any achiever the secret of his or her success, and you're likely to hear along these lines. Quote, well, I was fortunate. I worked hard, didn't make too many mistakes, and happened to be in the right place at the right time, unquote. This is probably true, but the deeper truth, however, is that in most cases, these modest people made their own breaks. They became indispensable to their employers or enterprises and snatched opportunities. Management, clients, and customers alike rely and lean on these hardworking types in moments of chaos. These movers and shakers take the initiative, assume leadership roles, and can often be found volunteering for difficult or unpopular assignments. Indispensable men and women have the enthusiasm to inspire and the self-discipline to stick to a job until it's complete. Unlike the example below, a man who had been called for jury duty asked to be excused. On what grounds, asked the judge? We're very busy at the office, sir, and I ought to be there. So you're one of those individuals who thinks he's indispensable. You think the firm can't do without you, is that it? No, sir, far from that. I know very well it can, but I don't want them to find out. Excuse, said the judge. The best way for you to develop the security that lasts a lifetime is to become outstanding at one particular line of work. Quote, outstanding men or women will always be in demand. And that's very, very important, you know, that when you do something and people know that they can count on you and that you're outstanding with it, then you're going to be the one that's going to be in demand. And as the guy said, he didn't want the people in his office to know that they could do without him. So that's why he wanted to be excused from jury duty. He didn't want them to find out that, hey, They didn't necessarily need him to be there. So, you know, and we need to look at that in all facets of life. You know, like I said, it's been a busy, hectic weekend. Nick Cannon got fired from Viacom. Kanye West had his first presidential rally yesterday. And the thing that was interesting about the Nick Cannon debacle was he had a podcast that he did with Professor Griff, which is a person that was part of Public Enemy, and Viacom accused him of being anti-Semitic, and the statements that they shared on the podcast, which, you know, was not any real anti-Semitic statements, but again, because they both were connected with Minister Louis Farrakhan, and, you know, the white folks always use Farrakhan as the litmus test for black people. Where do you stand with Farrakhan? You know, and so, you know, they always try to get people to denounce Farrakhan, or if you say you're in agreement with Farrakhan, then you must be anti-Semitic also. Well, you know, it was interesting. I challenged people. I think they took down the podcast that he did called Cannon's Class, that he did with Professor Griff, which is Richard King. But Professor Griff, if you might know, was one of the members of Public Enemy who got banned from the group. And when he got banned from the group, the people, they took his passport, and he was not able. He just recently got his passport back about, I think, about a year, 2 years ago. He got banned from the group Public Enemy back in the late 80s. And so, you know, when they want to come after you, they come after you. So as John Lewis said, you know, hey, you know, tear up stuff so you can have some good, so you can create some good trouble. And, you know, so we want to keep those kind of things in mind as we move forward, what we're doing. And Kanye, he was out there yesterday. He did his first presidential rally in North Charleston, South Carolina. And he did make a couple statements that had people's heads turning. You know, he said one of the statements he made was that Harriet Tubman didn't free, you know, slaves. She just got them to work for other white people. So, you know, he got ridiculed today about that, and on social media, people talked about him and his statement about that, and, you know, people challenged him to do a fact check. But you need to understand Kanye's his frame of reference, or his point of view, is that his point of view, and I've heard him make these kind of statements before, was that what she did was she got people to quote unquote freedom, but ultimately they still end up having to go work for some white people. So, you know, and it all depends on how we look at that. But they, you know, they got put in a better situation, and so where they had a choice of who they was going to work for as opposed to no choice. But ultimately, you know, really don't want to work for anybody. You want to be able to work for yourself. And so I think that's what he feels that he's doing, because I remember when he had a conversation with T.I. about why he was going to run for president. And T.I. asked him, said, well, you're going to mention to take that mega hat off, and which he, you know, he did. He disassociated himself with Trump. People say, you know, he's running that way he can take and divide the black vote, take votes away from Joe Biden, because the other thing he said is that Democrats have never really done nothing for black people. You know, he said that statement again yesterday at his rally. And you can find his rally on social media. You know, that way you can make sure you get the facts straight for yourself, so that if I'm paraphrasing anything, that you can hear from the horse's mouth. You know, because one of the powers of having social media and stuff is that, you know, it's documented. And you don't have to guess what people said. You can go back and actually listen to what they said, the same way as we're doing this podcast, is that you want to hear what we said, you can actually listen to this podcast on some platforms. So that way you don't have to misquote anybody. You can actually be able to hear exactly what we said, know what we said, and then you figure out the context in which we was disseminating and sharing that information.
Ain't that some stuff?
And so, you know, the other thing is that we lost.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, we.
Right, I'm having some serious technical issues, but I'm working on that. I do apologize.
Okay. Also, we lost over the weekend two civil rights icons. We lost John Lewis out of Georgia, who's a Democrat that has served in Congress for, what, 30-some years, Fran?
Yeah.
Okay, and then we lost Reverend C.T. Venom, who was in his 90s and was still getting out every day, putting in several miles in terms of running. And he was a person that worked with Dr. King. And just look them up, you know, look them up. There's a lot of history on both of them. And you can be able to really see the value of what we have done as a people and the progress that, you know, we attempted to make or have been making to make things special for us in terms of our sojourn here in this country in America. And so with that, the opening part of tonight's podcast and, you know, with all of that, you know, anybody wants to dive in, feel
yes,
free.
Yes, I do. I do. You know, it's a catchphrase that was going on there before we got started. They say, being, you know, with John Lewis, they say, you know, good trouble. And I think I'm going to get myself into some good trouble.
Okay.
You know, by me being part of the media, at least 1% of the media, because that's what black folks own, just 1% of the media. And it's very ironic to me is that you could take two giants like Mr. Lewis and what's the other gentleman named C.T. Vining? Did I pronounce his name right?
C.T. Vining.
Yes. And then you flipped over to Kanye West and Nick Cannon. And one thing about media I do know, it can be used for good, it can be used for a lot of purpose, but it also can be used for propaganda as well. And the way, you know, like I said, everybody can look at things from their own perspective. But the way I was looking at things, especially the way things came off this week, is that just, you know, a lot of media attention on those two great giants of ours who had a past history of fighting on the front lines. And then the media also flipped the switch on and showing two other gentlemen, Nick Cannon and Kanye West. And it seemed to me that as some of our leaders are passing on, and dare me, this is why I say good trouble, dare me to try to portray to us some new leaders, and which I may have a problem with.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, when it comes to contrast, you know what these other two gentlemen doing and what these younger guys doing, the current day gentlemen, to me, it don't even kind of stack up. But yet they were just getting so much kind of press all through the media, social media, and everything else, just as much as the other two gentlemen was. And because that's because media took those two gentlemen, Kanye West and Nick Cannon, and blasted them.
Mm-hmm.
And they use reverse discriminate. They use a whole lot. See, they had a whole lot of syllables. Just about to discriminate. First of all, they were using us. I mean, one of them, they were using it as a buffoon, to be honest with you. And he got a lot of press, you know, and they also showing him crying on stage, you know, doing all the kinds of stuff. They may misread the gentleman, but they showed, but to me, they were trying to portray him as one of our spokesperson or one of our leaders. And the media has a strong thing of selecting, because one time leaders earned their way.
Yeah.
They did it through respect, hard work, blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
You know, and what the new media is trying to portray is because somebody may sing or dance or because they come up in, you know, some other type of ranks, and then because they have a lot of exposure, so they pick and choose who they say who your leaders are. And there's a lot of black folks out here, a lot of them, who have paid their dues, but you don't see them in the media. The only time you see them is when they go being in contrast with the other media saying. I'm talking about with the bookers and everybody else out here trying to really make some serious change. Only time they show them when they're in opposition of y'all so-called president. But other than that, but am I right or am I wrong? Do y'all think that the media is putting Kanye West and Nick Cannon, because, like I said, one reason is they showing, I don't care, how, like I said before, and I always will say this, media has used us for, since media been out there, like I say, you can look at the Michael Jackson, the Michael Jordan, Clarence Thomas, you can look at just about everybody who Oprah with, anybody who made a name for themselves through the media has been slandered through the media.
Mm-hmm.
Every last one of our black people has any type of success, and so these people sitting in certain areas can say, I don't care how well them Negroes can sing, how well educated they are, how well they can play ball, ain't none of them no good, based on media. And yet now they got these new gentlemen coming up, you know, saying, you know, well, you know, they speaking up for black folks and that he's running for president. You know, I didn't take it seriously, but a lot of folks may have. But, you know, but the way the media is, oh, this is a serious move that's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And this is as far as black people can go, is the Kanye West for president. You know, this kind of, that's where I'm reading stuff, you know, and they jumping all over it. So if I'm right, if I'm in good trouble or bad trouble.
I think you're in good trouble, David. So this is Fran Allen, and I'm going to chime in here, motivational speaker, author, and change agent. And not too long ago, someone asked me, why do white people hate black people so much? And my response was this: white people don't hate us. They are afraid. They are afraid of us. Okay? They don't hate us. They are afraid of us. And in their fear of our men, black men, maybe taking their women, maybe they're afraid of the black women, showing them up in their professions and taking away their jobs. Maybe they're afraid of our children being smarter than their children and getting the scholarship instead of theirs. Maybe they're afraid of the athletic performance of our kids, and so that our kids are always in the spotlight and their children can't get off the bench. Maybe it's a whole variety of things. They don't want black people to find out. They don't want us to know collectively. They don't want us to find out about the reality of the power and the greatness that has been ours, that was created by us, that continues to be created by us. They don't want people to really know about the contributions that people of color, particularly black people, have made to the development, not just of the United States, but to the development of the world in general. We're not just creating things in America. Everywhere there are black people, they are creating something that somebody white is using to live their life. You hear that?
That's right.
They're afraid of that. So what are they going to do? Are they going to stand still and just let us take over? Oh, absolutely not. They can't allow us to become the majority. So what do? They divide and conquer. They divide and conquer. If you can get half the people to be fighting with each other, you don't have to worry about those people. Now you only got the other half to deal with. First half of the people, they're caught up with trying to kill each other. So you don't have to worry about them because they'll cancel out each other. Now, instead of having 1 million people, now you only got 500,000. Okay, maybe that's manageable, especially if they're able to target systematic ways to put systematic processes in place that cancel out black folks. Now they don't have to do that either. All they got to do is press a button and then watch the process play out, because in many ways we don't have the energy to really sit and figure out how do we create a system that automatically elevates black people. How do we create a system that does that? See, white folks created a system of discrimination. They created that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put the system, systematically, they engaged that system. And now the system does the discriminating. It's automatic.
That's right.
It's automatic. And then they teach their children all about the system so that their children come up thinking that's how it's supposed to be. You know, white, black people ain't supposed to have nothing. We're supposed to have everything. Black people aren't supposed to be better than us. We're supposed to be the best. They're not supposed to have more money than us. They're not supposed to make any money. They can't have a business. But we had all that stuff. And actually, if they wouldn't have any business, if they wouldn't learn how to do business from us in the first place. But see, you know, I'm getting in some good trouble here. And I know somebody is going to hear this and go, all right, I'm going to find that girl. I'm going to knock her out. Well, bring it. That's all I got to say. That's how I'm going to address that.
And another thing, Ms. Fran Allen, is I think there's a touch of insecurity.
Yes.
Insecurity brings fear, brings the unknown, brings a certain of inferiority. You know,
yes.
They've been insecure. I mean, there's no need for them to be insecure.
Right, and because there is enough room on this earth for all of us to be on here and not have to touch elbows.
Like I say, fear is a powerful thing, though. You know.
Yeah. Well, it is. It'll make you do some really stupid, really crazy, really ignorant things. And then after you figure out that the thing that you fear the most is not something you need to fear in the first place because they don't want you.
That's right. Fear of the unknown.
I don't want to be the best black speaker. I want to be the best speaker. I don't want to be chosen because I'm the best black girl. I want you to choose me because I'm the one that can get the job done. See, I can do that. I have great confidence in my ability. Other people need to have great confidence in their own ability. I do not. I have in the past, I will be honest with that, I have in the past undervalued my ability. But those are not the days that I live in now. Come on. Those are not the days that I live in now. You need somebody to pump you up? I'm the one you should be calling. But you won't call me because you're scared I'm going to say something that's going to call you out. Well, own your stuff. And then you won't have to worry about it calling you out because you did it before I could.
And then when you talked about that, that makes me think that they have a lot of secrets behind the closed doors. That
honey,
you were saying, that if you call them out, they all know how does she... You know, this is going to bring investigations. It's going to bring all this stuff they're doing behind closed doors. Yeah.
Skeletons. They're called skeletons. And let me tell you something. It don't matter whether they're black or white. It don't matter whether you're black or white. Everybody got a skeleton or two in their closet. But the ones that are the most afraid are the ones that will do the most dirt to keep you from knowing about their skeletons.
Yeah, that's like the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, you know.
Who
was Island and stuff like that. And then you have people that was in pictures with certain people, and they tried to say that wasn't them in the picture. Prince Andrew was in
right. They done messed up the whole royal family, and now the queen is all upset. She all upset. She like, you know, of all the scandals.
Yeah, we be y'all reproach.
Why? We're never involved in any nonsense. That's for those commoners. That's for those other people, you know, those normal folks. We're not normal. We're the royals, really. Yeah, y'all got the same crazy fetishes as some other people do. Get the closet. Put the skeletons out on the lawn so people can see them, so you don't have to worry about nobody calling you out about them.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so today we're living in 2020. Do you think that the perspective of having the opportunity to achieve just like the next person, is that still relevant today, or is it something that we still have? Do you think that there's something that we're still struggling with?
No, I think it's still available.
Yeah.
I think it's still available. I think it's about choices. It's all about choices. You know, my parents chose to raise me in such a way that I would always try to do what I felt was right, because it was the right thing to do, not because somebody was going to give me some money, not because somebody was going to give me a position, not because I was going to get some notoriety or some fame or some attention. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And if something good comes of that, that's a great thing. But if nothing comes of it for you, But the other person that you did whatever you did for, because it was the right thing to do, achieves or succeeds or what have you, that's your gift. That's your benefit. That's your blessing that you helped someone else.
Right.
You know.
But you know something, hey, Bubba Hector, yeah. Excuse me for cutting you off. You know something else, too?
What's
you know,
on,
Fran hit her on a lot of things. When she first started speaking, she was saying, you know, they have fear of this, you know, they have insecurities about that. But do you know the psychological, on the flip side, the psychological damages that has been done to us as a people?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a promise. Me and my brother, he's on the line. We were talking about a month ago. When I was a teenager, I had this job working downtown. And
okay.
There was four of us. We worked in this little carryout restaurant right on Light Street. And I was 16 years old. I was a dishwasher. There was a cook, which was elderly black lady. There was the manager. And there was a waitress. It was just the four of us. Now, the lady who was the manager, she was older than my grandmother, so I called her Miss Catherine. George, I'm 16. George, the waitress named George, she was 25. And I'm quite sure the other lady was older than Miss Catherine. Now, and Joyce said, well, David, you know, call me Joyce. You know, and I had no problem with that. I commit, this is in the 60s now. You know, we had the black power thing of, you know, we're no, you know,
right.
Yes, sir, no, ma'am. You know, I'm black and I'm proud, you know.
Right.
And, but every time I call this lady, the waitress, hey, Joyce, she said, hey, Dave. I said, hey, Joyce, you know, when you just talk, that black lady would almost break her neck getting over to me. You call her Miss Joyce. I mean, she was mad, too. She said, you call her Miss Joyce. And I, you know, I try to respect her, but I couldn't, you know, bow down to that. But I understood later on because in her day, when you didn't call somebody out of respect, they could kill you. They could string you up and stuff. So I understood.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand at the time. But
right.
The psychological damage that was
yeah.
done to her,
right.
she was passing that on to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a lot of our family, you know, we were saying, you know, be careful, because white folks, you know, this, that, you know, they above us, you know, we, this, that. Even myself,
yeah.
y'all heard my story when
mm-hmm.
I was coming up. I didn't see no black media. I didn't see this. You know, when I went to an old white school, I felt less than. Because, you know, I mean, seriously, it was a psychological damage done through media,
mm-hmm.
through our own people, and through circumstances that a lot of us do not even believe. Like, but getting back to you, Brother Hector, with this. All of us have greatness within us.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like Fran said, if we nurture those gifts and talents, and they, you know, like I said, you can be the greatest of anything, not just a great black, but you can be the greatest of anything if you put your
mm-hmm.
mind to it. Mind's a hell of a
right.
thing. And like I said, we only use 10% of our capacity. Can you imagine if we use 20, 30, 40%? If we really dug in.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the capability, but we don't dig that deep sometimes,
right,
you know?
Right.
But like I say, the psychological damage that has been done to systematically, like Fran said in the beginning, systematically, that fear and everything else from both ends, you know, from our end and from their end, because like I say, one of the major fears is this, that we might do the same thing what they've done to us.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the biggest fear.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
You know,
the fear, the uncertainty, fear of what's going to happen next, and that's something that has to be dealt with.
And then I think that comes from being corrupt, because normally a good person won't think like that, but because a community that's done so much corruption and they know how it is.
They've done it firsthand, and
they feel guilty, and
mm-hmm.
It's just in their mind,
right.
And that's the repercussion of, you know, doing something bad. You know, that's the karma of it.
Right. Look, this is funny. When I was young, I used to have to share a room with my sister. And at night when it was time for us to go to bed, Ma would make us turn the light out. And my sister was scared to death of the dark. And so I wasn't scared of the dark. And I'd be fussing because she always wanted, you know, after Ma would go away, she'd try to get up and turn the light on. And I couldn't sleep with the light on, but she couldn't sleep with the light off. And so I told my grandmother one day, and I was like, because she asked me, she said, girl, why are you so tired all the time? I said, man, I can't sleep at night. And she said, why? And I said, because I can't turn the light off because, you know, my sister won't, she won't, I won't call her name because I don't want her to call me up after the show and give me some words. So I'm not going to say her name, but she will fuss, you know. And so I told my grandmother, you know, she wouldn't let me turn the light off because she's scared of the dark. And my grandmother snatched her up and told her, girl, if it wasn't so bad during the day, you wouldn't have nothing to be scared of at night. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's deep. Man, she wasn't around to see all the dirt, but she realized that this child was doing stuff she didn't have no business doing during the day because she was so scared of what might happen to her in the night when she couldn't see it coming. And girl was like, if you wasn't doing something for somebody to come for you, you wouldn't have to worry about who was coming. Yeah, that's what the white people are experiencing. That's what they're going through. They done did so much dirt in the daylight, they scared about what's going to happen with the darkness. But we are the darkness, and they are definitely afraid of what we will bring.
But you know, just 1 second. You know, what you call the least of these. Say, for instance, some of these guys, some people may say they call them names like rednecks up in the hills or something like that. You know, they have a lot of gripes, but they have one rallying point. At least I ain't one of those.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So they figure right that the lowest of their low think they're better than we are and deserve, and that's why they had that privilege thing. I am more privileged than you are.
Yeah.
And they made the most noise.
I had so many face to face experiences with that kind of mentality when I was serving active duty in the Marine Corps. And as I picked up a little rank and I got some white boys that had less rank and they had to work for me, and they would just come right out and say, I'm not working for that NB. I'm not working for that NB. And I'd be like, oh, you're not? Okay. All right. Well, keep talking. And before it was over with, all of them was working for this NB. They was all doing it because they had to. Because the way the system was in the military, it wasn't about the individual. That's not the thing that determined what you was going to do or not going to do. It was what you were wearing on your shoulder that determined what you was going to do and what you was not going to do. And my stripes were bigger than their stripes. Get over it.
Yeah, tell me about it, friend.
And, but I didn't get them. I didn't get them standing around looking. They didn't fall in my lap. I had to work my tail off to get them stripes. And I went through a lot of changes and a whole bunch of craziness to get those stripes, to get them the right way. Because there was some other people that was laying down and getting them. Well, I walked up on every one of mine. But it was a tough thing. It was a tough thing. And it was a lot of people that had that mentality, you know, because they didn't look like me. I didn't look like them. And they felt like, you know, I didn't have nothing coming and they didn't owe me nothing. But they didn't. They were right. They didn't owe me anything. They owed them stripes. That's what they owed.
Yeah.
And then another thing, while you were talking, it seems to be revealed that they see the tenacity, they see the strength in us, they see the problem solving, they see a lot of things in us that maybe they don't see in themselves, but if they were to cultivate it within themselves, then they would have the same thing.
Right, right. Well, if I didn't learn anything else in the Marine Corps, I learned to lead by example. I led
That's
by
right.
example. The thing
yeah,
that
led
ultimately,
by example.
Yes, the thing that ultimately got me the respect of those people was the fact that whenever I asked them to do something, whether they did it or not, I still helped. I still rolled up my sleeves. If we were mopping floors, I had a mop and a bucket too. You get on that end, I'll get on this end. If they didn't want to do it, I'd do it, but then they had to suffer the consequences later on. But they always saw me trying to help them do the same things I was asking of them. And after a while, you know, it just got to where they understood, well, you know, she may be an NB, but she's a fair NB because she do everything she asked us to do.
That's right.
And they, you know, they were still calling me out my name when I wasn't looking or they thought I was out of earshot. But as soon as I came in the room, they'd get on their feet. Because if they didn't get on their feet of their own choice, I would put them on their face by my choice. They had to learn how to deal
right.
with me.
Give me 10, huh? Give me 10.
Yeah. Like, you got a problem. You don't want to respect the stripes. Yeah, let me in the dirt. Get in the dirt. Mm-hmm. And I didn't care if they
guys.
Yeah, I didn't care if they were wearing the good uniform I didn't care. In the dirt.
Let me just get this announcement in here real quick.
Go ahead, sir.
It's the top of the hour. This is the top of the hour, everybody. Those of you who listen on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, live, guys, just call in on the show right now. The number is 605-313-4163. Then hit the access code 659975. Open discussion tonight with all of us on here tonight. David Murphy, Satawi Jahi, Fran. And what's the other gentleman's name?
Vernon Streeter.
Is it Vernon?
Yeah, Vernon Streeter.
Mm-hmm.
The other gentleman. What's his name?
Mr. Andre Hector?
Yeah, no, not me. Nah, I'm talking about. he works for the National Black Community News. He was just
Walter Murphy.
Walter. He's on here too.
Yeah, I'm
Walter. That's my man. You know what? I love his voice, man. I'm trying to get him to sing. I'm trying to get you to sing, sir.
Be careful what you ask for. Because he will give it up.
Where Barry White at? Somebody tell me where he at.
Andre, stop. Andre, just stop. I appreciate
it's your move.
Listen, I'm glad you opened it up, but to be honest with you, I was really enjoying the depth of what you guys were talking about, man. I'm sitting, this is right down my alley when you talk about the mindset of all of what's going on in these days and times, which has always been going on, except that we are now in a position to have access to more information and access to more information faster. And so one of the things that's going on now that I see is that more of us are now in tune simply because of what we've been seeing over these last few months and, of course, knowing what's been happening over these last hundreds of years. So I'll get back on the subject, y'all, please.
Yeah,
well, let me say this, Mr. Hector.
I just want to comment
on
this.
Yeah, Mr. Hector, I'm going to say this to you. But, wait a minute, just one second. I just want to get this up because I'm old and I forget. let me say this. Do you remember, Mr. Murphy, I know you remember. Maybe Satavi will remember. Now, you work for the transit company, don't you, sir?
Yes, sir, the Maryland Transit Administration.
Now, you see all types of bus drivers, black bus drivers, and all that kind of stuff. You see that on a regular basis, right? Probably more than
all day long.
But guess what? When I was a little boy, when we saw a black bus driver, once in a blue moon, it was almost like watching TV. A black bus driver! We would get so excited. Seriously!
Wait.
Mr. Murphy, am I lying?
Come a long way.
A black mailman was cool too. Okay, really?
Yeah. I mean, we had a ride. We seen a black bus driver walk going down Pennsylvania Avenue. I said, oh my goodness, man! And, you know, it was almost like a holiday. You know, man, I'm serious.
Yeah.
That's how far the psychological damage is. Like I say, it's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
Anybody else? It was normal for them to drive a bus before us. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to comment on what Fran was saying. I had the same experience when I was in the military because I had some stripes.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had white boys that, you know, hey, if they didn't want to do what I said they needed to do, all I had to do was, like, report them to the, you know, my upline CEO.
Yes,
yeah, and and I remember upline CEO telling them, so you gotta learn one thing, young man. They say, what's that? See, shit flows downhill, not uphill. You know, so
that's right.
You know. Hey guys, you remember that one movie where I forgot the guy's name, but he was in the military, black guy, and then he was like in charge, and then he had, you know, he was in like boot camp, and the white guys were like trying to challenge the cap or, you know, the drill instructor. And he took off his coat and he put his coat on a rack and says, "You ain't gotta respect me, but you gonna respect what's on that coat, that rack."
That's right.
What movie movie was
that? Officer and a Gentleman.
Say that again.
I think it was Officer and a Gentleman.
That's what it was. Yeah, check it out.
What
it
was Lou Gossett.
It was Lou Gossett. Yeah.
I thought it was a comedian that was in there. Forgot his name.
Yeah, I think that was Lou Gossett. I think he's right. I think it was Gossett.
Maybe Facebook
and
can help me. Anybody out there on Facebook, can you help me out? Instagram, YouTube. Hey, there was this movie. It was a black film. The guy was a drill sergeant. It was boot camp basic training and stuff like that. And it was a challenge by one of his, you know, the white guys who was in there who was getting trained by him. And then he took off his jacket and he put it on the coat rack or something. It says, you don't have to respect me, but you got to respect the coat, you know, and everything. Cause somebody help me out. Help a brother out. Anybody out there, call in on the station now or just comment on the comments below. I need some help.
Well, you know, like I said, we talk about a lot of things, man. But you know, like I said, we come a long way. You know what I'm saying? We got a long way to go. But you know, one thing for sure, you know, respect, like I said, earned. But one thing we have to learn, I think, is real powerful for those who are listening to us. You must learn to respect yourself first. You know,
mm-hmm.
you got to really look within, you know, to bring, like Fran said, you got to bring the best out of you. Be the best you can. You can look at yourself
yeah.
in the mirror.
And
you know, see, when you learn to respect yourself, you know, you got something within you that people going to see without. They're going to
yeah.
see, like I say, you know, they're going to look at you and say, this man, you know, he's a little different. Something about this, you know, this person. You know, that they demand respect because, you, like I say, you personified. And a lot of us, you know, we have to teach our children. We have to tell them what day and what time it is, but we also have to tell them who they are and whose they are as well. You know,
right.
because like I say, nobody
oh
is better
goodness.
Than you.
Yeah.
And you are no better than nobody else. And like I say, this is some man-made up stuff. You know, this
yeah.
race thing. You know, and you have to tell your children, your grandchildren. You know, but like I say, you don't want history because right now, if we allow what's taking place now with a person like a Donald Trump and a lot of other, his cronies, you see what's happening. You know, I mean, they turning things around so swiftly. They've been bringing out federal agents and putting them on people in various cities. And now they're talking about coming to Baltimore, Detroit, every major black city, and going to unleash this kind of stuff. Before this man leaves office, he's going to try everything he can. And then you know he will push the envelope as far as he can push it.
Yeah,
and
sure, he's going to try everything he can. That's right.
Yeah.
But like I say, but you know what? I admire what I saw on the news today. And that's Portland, I believe. You know, they've been clashing for a long time. You know, they've been up there protesting for a long time. But yesterday, a group of women stood in front of the protesters and the police. They call them mothers, you know. They hold their arms up, locked up, and then you know this, that, and stood their ground, you know. And see, that's the power when people put their mind in it, and you need. And that's what we need to do as the people, you know. Like I say, even though, like I said, we individuals, but you know, but like I say, when people look at us as like you say, systematically, you're black, and like I say, systematically, even the lords of their lords think they're more privileged than we are. But then, you know, that's a lie. We all know this, but you know, the fact is, people believe lies. People are propaganda. People can be swayed this way or that way. You know, this foolish man told people that they can drink. what they call that stuff? You know, with the cleanser, whatever he told them to drink, bleach. Bleach.
The Lysol.
Bleach and injection. Did you know? Did you know people went out there and tried that? How gullible!
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said how gullible people are. You know, so I'm telling you, and media, like I say, has a it's a powerful force. It's a powerful tool.
It is
swing.
A powerful force. It is.
Go ahead, Chris.
The media is an extremely powerful force. So let's not forget that the media. All of the media, all the media houses, at the end of the day, there is one boss, and he might own multiple companies, but it's one person telling them all, giving them all what their marching orders are. And their marching orders are in keeping with the fear that that group has about the advancement and progression and success of people that don't look like them. They don't want anybody to climb up to where they believe they are. They're at, you know, the pinnacle of whatever it is that they've created for themselves, and they don't want to share the executive seat with anybody that looks like us unless we got a broom and a mop.
That's Kanye West. That's him. Yeah, you know, he just went up there. They told him, they said, boy, you better bow down. We run this. What'd he do? He bowed down, you know, and if he wanted to keep that position, you know.
Well, in my mind, oh, boy, no, he's no better. He's no better than he says Harriet was.
That's crazy.
You know?
He should have got out.
Well.
Yeah, but, you know, people get accustomed to a certain way, a certain lifestyle, a certain like this, you know, you get spoiled. And that's why not only media, but money. Money can sway you as well. You know, it does stay
well,
with
that's
people.
True. Once you can buy your way into a certain place, you can buy your way into a mentality, too. I think that money has bought him into a mentality. When he looks at the mirror, he doesn't see what we see. You know, he doesn't see what we see, and his lifestyle is nothing that any of us is ever going to see in our lifetime either. But I think that for many of us, that's by choice, because the things that he had to do to get the money that he's got are not things that we are going to consider doing. I'm not going to do all this stuff. You know, I'm not a materialistic person like that. I'm just not. I work for people and I help people because I know that's what God put in me. And I'm satisfied with the blessing that I get for doing the thing that he calls me to do. I'm satisfied with that and grateful because so many people are so much worse off than me. Are you kidding? I'm not at the bottom. I might look like I may not have... But that's because I don't live at my means. I live below them.
Right. And what I was saying about Get Out, that's a code. I don't know if you ever seen that movie called Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I seen it. Because you can sell your soul to the devil, man.
That's right.
Maybe.
That's right.
You should have got out.
You should have got out. Yep.
Yeah. But you know, sometimes you know, people offer, you know, God offer you a way that you can be your own man or be your own person. But because of the pressure, you know, life, you know, so they told him, in general public, who the boss is, we control this.
And then when you
do it this way, that way, you know, the message is sent to all of us. You know, that's what you know, a powerful message.
And then when you subject yourself, they have systems that will overtake you.
Yeah.
You know, and you will see things differently. You know, from the constant images or whatever they put in front of you, it will just overtake you.
Right.
And you know, and like I say, but you know, sometimes, you know, like I say, when you got a principle in life, but then, you know, they say every man has a breaking point or this, that, because you can be threatened, but not only that, sometimes you may not be threatened, but they can threaten someone you care about or someone love, you know, and then they attack that person. So they have all, like I said, they've been working these systems for so long that you know, like that's why they would take a black man back in the day and take the whole, all the slaves and bring them out there.
All of it. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And strip them down. Took his manhood from him in front of his wife, his children, and everything else. You know, psychological damages.
It's funny that you said that, David Murphy, because every time I'm out there on the MTA, every time that I'm on the system and I try to talk to people, I try to educate people, first of all, and let them know exactly where it's coming from. Not just something I pulled out of my head. you know, mm-hmm. because it's very important when we see culture do certain things, we need to understand where it originated from. And a lot of times people mm-hmm. do things out of ignorance, especially mm-hmm. our young people, and not even just that, just people in general. On the Metro subway, I see various cultures come through that gate, on the bus, light rail subway, especially young black men. They wear their pants down off their behind, and I tell them, you know, every now and then when I can, you know, it takes a little bit of skill to kind of like look at somebody and tell if they're hostile or not, you know, because everybody has a different attitude coming down there. So I got to play mm-hmm. my cards right. But when I get that one, I take them to the side and I let them know. I said, sir, you know, do you understand the symbolism about you wearing your pants off your behind? And I asked, where did that come from? And he said, oh, you know, come from the jail. I said, okay, well, I could take you further back to slavery. And mm-hmm. I'll explain to them, everybody knows, I think we know on this call, we know what butt breaking is.
Yes,
right? Everybody knows what that is. And mm-hmm. they used to take that alpha male mm-hmm. and take him in front of everybody, because a lot of people looked up to that male, that black man, and the white man mm-hmm. would beat him, degrade him, take his pants down and rape him in front of everybody
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to let him know who's boss.
Yep.
And, you know, and he walked around like that all day with his pants
yep.
hanging off his
Yeah.
And when I see stuff like that, it bothers me. And I try to educate as much as I can, you know, with non-hostile intention, and you know, so it's something that we need to do. Because now, if you ever notice, they're taking words and they're taking a fashion that was once degrading us, and they're trying to turn it into a fashion.
Something that's cool, mm-hmm. something that's
yeah.
that's fashionable.
Right.
And it's not.
Right.
What is so fashionable about looking at somebody's dirty drawers? I'm sorry. I'm just going to take it straight to where it goes, because I am a mother, and my son sags too. And every single time I see him, the first thing I say is, boy, pull your pants up. Your drawers are showing. And I don't care where we are. I don't care who he's with. If he's with his girl, she's going to hear it too. If he's with his boys, he's going to hear it, they going to hear it, and if they ain't careful, I'll be talking about them the same way. And so when they see me coming, when they know I'm coming around,
yeah.
guess what they do? They pull their pants up because they don't want to hear me crack on them because I'm loud. Oh, my God, Lord, boy, I know you ain't changed your drawers because they still gray. And you're like, I'm like,
yeah.
pull your
friend.
Pants up. I ain't got to see it. I don't care.
Yeah, friend. This
yes.
is, you're so right. And I would just say this. If we have to start respecting our own race first, respect
yes.
each other, how can we expect the other races to respect us if we don't respect ourselves?
Yes.
And it made me think of some time ago when my son and my nephew, one was in the 11th grade and one was in the 12th grade, we were in school and they were catching the school. You talked about the buses and transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd she go?
Kathleen?
Break it up, baby.
Okay. Can you hear me
now? Yeah, I can hear you now.
I'm sorry. My nephew and my son, 11th and 12th grade, riding the school bus, and so I met their bus driver by accident. And I was so excited to know that he was the guy that was picking them up every morning and bringing them home. And I don't know what made me ask him. I said, well, do you know my son and nephew? And he wasn't sure, and I told him where the stop was. He says, yeah, they get on every morning. I said, I cannot tell you what made me ask this question. I said, when they get on the bus, do they speak to you and say good morning? He said, no. He said, no, to see my son and my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the talk of the day with both of them, Carl and Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
And from that time on, when I would see that bus driver, the next time I saw him, I said, did they speak to you? He said, oh, yeah, we don't have any problems anymore. You know, what was that about? That was a black bus driver picking them up every day, and they didn't have the courtesy to say good morning. We have
mm-hmm.
to start with our own race and show respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We have work to do ourselves.
Yes,
yeah,
we
got a lot of work to do. Yeah, you know,
yes,
I mean, we got so much work to do. But, you know, again, like I said, we got work within and work without. You know, that's a double whammy. And
yeah.
like I say, but we are powerful people. We overcome.
Yeah.
We're overcomers. And all things are possible. All things are possible.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, with that man in the mirror, it starts with us, each individual, and you'd be surprised what one person can do. The power of one is a powerful thing.
Yeah.
And just like you said, Kathleen, just what you just said, you know, you taught your son and your nephew, and now, you know, and just how, man, just think about it, how the bus driver felt.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, he out there, he got all of these children he's responsible for. You know, he can't even,
you know,
getting them there safe and back and everything, you know, and they can't say good morning.
Didn't even say good morning.
You know?
Yeah.
But I changed that.
That's right. That's right.
And like Fran said, you know what you were saying, Fran? You know, if you're ever doing a job and people take your job for granted, you know, when you put your blood, sweat, and tears into something and nobody respects what you're doing, I don't care if you're sweeping the streets. I don't care if whatever you're doing. You know, you need to respect that, you know, because somebody has to do it. And if you do it well, you're doing it all right, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And like I said, a lot of times, you know, we put each other down, you know, and things like that. Like I said, it starts with the man in the mirror. And you got to count your own blessings.
Because
by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you, in a different family, in a different place, and a few choices that we made, you know, could be a world of difference.
Yeah.
Hey, David, in my hometown, when I grew up in my hometown, we had one black postman, the mail carrier, and he was carrying mail in my neighborhood. He was like royalty. We respected him like he was the mayor of the city. Of course, he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
He was the mail carrier. There was something about respect that was carried on back then that's a little different than today. We highly respect. When he came down the street, it's almost like, here he comes.
Yeah.
It was something special.
Yeah,
those were the good times.
but you also have to know this too. You know, that's why I say you have, you know, respect is a powerful thing, especially when you give it to somebody else. Because just like Fran said, when she was in the military, a lot of people didn't respect her just because of the color of her skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they had to respect that rank and everything. But like I say, but you know, you never know what that postman had to go through, and every day he had to go in the office.
That's
he may have the care to do a double load, just like whatever else was going on one shift.
Yeah.
You know, they may give him all the packages, you know, all kinds of stuff. Man, he probably had to go in the back door instead of the front door. You know, all kinds of stuff.
We don't know what he went through.
That's right.
Right.
And so, and like I said, that black bus driver, I can imagine now. I can imagine what he had to go through with all the other white drivers when he probably wouldn't even use the locker room. You know.
Let me tell you.
A lot of percentage of the MCA is now black. Come a long way
right.
to black people.
Yeah, I mean, we've come a long way. But we had a black bus driver on my route that when I would go to school. And when things changed in my hometown and we could integrate and go into the restaurants, this particular black bus driver told my girlfriend and I that he wanted to pay for our lunch, for us to go into the restaurant. He didn't want to do it himself. I don't think he felt comfortable doing it, but he knew that we would know the manners and how to sit at a table and eat correctly and, you know, hold our utensils correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we set it up. I mean, we talked about it for weeks, and he was going to pay, and he did. This the bus driver on my route paid for my girlfriend and I to go into what had been the all-white restaurant in downtown and go and eat lunch, and oh, my goodness, we did it. And it was, we were the only blacks up in there, and we had lunch, and we well behaved, and we enjoyed it, came out. You would not believe how many people we had to tell our experience to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it.
They hadn't gone in there. They all go
right, it was not their frame of reference. Right.
See, that's the difference between when we started this whole conversation between John Lewis and C.T. Vine and that Kanye West, them guys before them, they earned their respect.
Yes, they did.
They earned it. You know, they paid some serious dues.
Now you get it because you got a. Now you get it because you got a million fictitious likes. You don't even know the people, ain't never seen them before in your life. Couldn't call them out if they were standing right next to you with the sign on their head. But you got a million likes, so you must be somebody. And you don't know you don't know no more than the next one standing next to you who don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm. But I
I'm
do know
sure
one
he
thing.
Has, yeah.
I know. Go ahead, Kathleen.
I was just going to say that I had told my husband this, that I felt that Mr. West probably had a lot of encouragement to say he was going to run, because that would split the boat. That a lot of young people don't understand,
right.
And they would just jump at the opportunity because it's Mr. West. And I think that that's how they do. That's how it's done a lot of times. How can we split this boat and make it, you know, make it easier for the other party? We'll just split it. And an easy way to split it, get those young black people and some white young ones to look at him, and they look at him differently than we do. They have not a clue what's really going on.
No, they really don't. And they don't spend the time or put in the effort to try to educate themselves so they will know the real deal.
Yeah.
And he calls,
we already know.
He calls his party the birthday party.
This is crazy.
Well, but I can tell you what the other people call them. I can imagine what they call them. Those other people, you know, I can tell you, because like I say, they did the photo ops with him with Trump and how he was raving about him. They did a lot of little things. And like I say, but then again, it's about imagery, too. Look at the image that they're portraying for us. This is our man. This is who we're going to run for president, a black man. This is a black man. So, you know, there it is. But, again, you know, like I say, but, you know, he earned his own way, and he's done his own thing, and he's one individual. And like I said, we can't allow nobody to pick our leaders for us, you know. You know, again, you know, we have to, like I say, start with that man in the mirror. Educate yourself, you know.
That's right.
And then your values will show. You know, nobody can sway you this way or that way. You know.
Right.
But in any case, you know, we're getting close to the hour. Matter of fact, we passed a few minutes of the hour. But this is what I would like to do in closing. Everybody who participated on the call, starting with you, Fran, like to say some parting words.
Okay, this is Fran Allen, motivational speaker, author, and change agent. And this is what I want to leave you with. Nobody is going to treat you better than they see you treat yourself. Have a little self-respect so somebody else will give you some too.
Amen. Miss Kathleen Murphy, you'd like to say some parting words? I don't know if you can hear me or not. Okay, if Kathleen come back on. Okay.
I'm sorry, but I had it muted.
Okay.
The one thing I would say is just continue to show love. That's all you need, love.
Amen. Mr. Murphy, how about you, sir?
Well, yeah, I kind of heard Kathleen, and she kind of stole a little bit of my thunder, and she's right. It's about love. You was talking about hate all evening long. And you know there's only two powerful, the two most powerful emotions on this planet is love and fear. And out of fear comes hate right behind it. So, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, it is a thing of they are afraid and justifiably so. But at the end of the day, if we continue to show some love, especially for ourselves, we'll go a long way. And y'all have yourselves a wonderful night, and I enjoyed the conversation.
All right, Mr. Vernon Streeter.
All right. Just to go back with what everybody's been saying, has been, you know, been very enlightening. I would just say just to do research, you know, and just to know what's going on. Just find out what's going on in the community. Find out what's going on with yourself. And that's it.
All right, fantastic. Mr. Andre Hector.
What's going on? This is Andre Hector, radio personality, motivational speaker from the Andre Hector Show. I'm here with the National Black Unity News. It's been a blessing. You guys want any information from my website, please go to www.onrihector.com and check my website for upcoming events. It's one of those things, just like everybody's been talking about. We have to do self-examination, find out where we stand with ourselves. And then we have to pursue the education that we need so we'll be educated enough to make educational, logical decisions so we can enhance the quality of our own life. And keep in mind, and I always say this, as iron sharpens iron, so does a friend sharpen a friend. Let's be the sharpening tools for one another so we can make this journey not only just by ourselves, but it's better to have a collective with us. You know, if I can help you to help me, so we can help somebody else. God bless you.
Amen.
Right.
Brother Satawi Jahi.
Yes, sir. Thank you, David.
Amen.
I just like to close with this: over in Israel right now, one of their biggest fears is they're fearing inner city young black males. And if you pull up. What they've been discussing in the Knesset, that's their fear. And it takes me back to Public Enemy, fear of a black planet. We're on the rise.
Wow.
We're part of the rising tide of history. There's two tendencies in history, that which is coming into being and that which is going out. The old world is going out, and we're part of the rising tide of history. And that's what we saw with the George Floyd thing. And, you know, we need to just continue to keep moving forward, as Maya Angelou used to say, I still rise. So keep rising.
Mm-hmm.
Keep rising to the top, people. Keep doing whatever it is that you need to
All
do.
Right.
To rise. And with that
yep.
said,
rising to the top.
Well, thank you, brother. Look, I'm going to close with this. You know, I thank each and every one of y'all because it's been a very nice conversation, but you know, It takes me to all types of places, you know. Took me way back in the day, current, and some of the things I had to deal with and still deal with, you know, psychologically, because like I say, we have a lot of issues. You know, like in that Kathleen was saying, we had to look within, and not only that, we have to be our brother's keeper, because a lot of us may not be as fortunate because we don't know the circumstances that they come from, you know, I mean, what they've been through. We got a lot of issues. We got drugs. We got a lot of things because it's psychological, systematically, it's been done to us. And we have to reach out and help somebody because you never know who that person you may reach out to. Because like I say, life, it comes from a lot of series of choices. And sometimes we can help a person to choose this way or that way. You know, they can choose life and have an abundant life if we encourage them. And we all have that type of power within us. Because like I say, if we love, we can love our brothers and sisters, then we love ourselves as well. And so, you know, just keep reaching out. We got to help one another. You know, when those of us don't
That's
understand,
it.
Help them try to understand. At least share with them anyway. If they don't get it now, they may get it later. But thank you, everybody, man. I love you all, man.
Right.
Keep up the good work. And like I say, the National Black Unity News is relevant. The National Black Unity is media, but it's a powerful medium. It's a positive medium, and it shines and it shows us in a positive light. And our light need to be shined, and we need to share our light because a lot of people need what we are doing. Now, thank you all, and have a pleasant good night.
Everybody will be reminded about the Tuesday call for the National Black Unity News training call. Stay on, get on the call and get some more information, so we can be better tomorrow than we were today.
That's
see
right. 7:30 sharp.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Hello.
Thanks, Dave. See ya.
All right, thank you all.
Good night.
Take care.
Good night.
All right.
Goodbye.
Okay, we will close this episode out with the theme song of Movements Unlimited called It's My Time. All right, here we go.
Oh, there's a feeling inside.
Okay, good night, good night, good night. Join us again, same time, same place, next week for another edition of the National Black Unity News Podcast. That ends this episode for tonight.